Are you done? Please open in your Bibles this morning to St. John chapter 7. You get to do that from back there, Donnie? Okay. How many of you have ever put together a 1,000-piece puzzle? Or maybe a 250 or 500. Five. If it's a bigger one, if you just take 10 pieces, put them where they belong, you really don't get the picture. And unfortunately, we have become a people in our culture that know certain text, but they don't know the surrounding of those texts to see the whole picture. And so this morning, I hope to put together some passages that will begin to put a picture before us of what I preached on last Sunday was the Holy Spirit. Someone came to Christ and they asked Jesus, Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am? What's the opinion of what's circulating about me?" And so they told Jesus, "Well, some say this about you, and others say this about you." And then Jesus said to Simon Peter, who he was asking the question, "Well, who do you say that I am, Simon Peter?" You won't find this up there. We'll get to that in a moment. And Simon Peter said, "You're the Christ," or the anointed one. And Jesus was thrilled with his answer and said, "You're right. Flesh and blood did not give you that revelation, but my Father, which art in heaven." Not only is it important that we have a right understanding of Jesus, it is equally important we have a right understanding of the Holy Spirit. And if I was to ask almost any congregation today or any child of God and say to them, "Who do you, or what are they saying the Holy Spirit is? Who is he?" You would probably hear a variety of answers, just like there was a variety of answers at the time when Simon Peter was telling the Lord the variety of answers that were floating around. It is important that we understand who the Holy Spirit is and not be a view of him by certain pieces of the puzzle that you may have seen that doesn't give you an accurate picture of who the Holy Spirit is. Unfortunately, we have many people, and it is sad to say, they don't know their Bible. They know text. They can quote you a scripture. But do they get the picture? Many do not. And it is important that you read the Bible for yourself. Unfortunately, people come to church and they hear a text, and they know that. And we begin to form textual concepts rather than biblical concepts. So this morning, I don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, but I have enough of the scriptures. I hope and pray it will present to you a picture. I wish I had a picture of Brother Henry right now holding that beautiful grandbaby, and he looks prouder than a peacock holding him. I saw on the news this past week, I love animal documentaries, and they said that a polar bear has a nose that a bloodhound would be jealous of. And this polar bear could smell a seal 1.5 miles away, 3 feet below the ice. That's quite a sensitive nose. And then when the bear arrives at the place that it knows tells him where that seal is, 3 feet below the ice, it will then wait patiently up to 14 hours listening for that seal to move. And when that seal, which is under the ground, has no idea, or maybe it does, of what is up above, 3 feet above, when that seal makes a little noise, then that polar bear, over 1,000 pounds, will leap in the air and then come down with his front, wanting to break through the ice. And then I won't describe to you the ugly detail, how he pulls out that poor little eye. TMI. You know what drives that polar bear? His hunger. That's why we have the expression, I'm hungrier than a bear. And with that thought in mind, hunger, Jesus refers to your hunger often in his teachings in the 3.5 years that we have. On the Sermon on the Mount, he addressed hunger. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But on another occasion, and this is the text we're going to begin to start with, that will hopefully, I want to give you a view and an understanding, not from your own experiences, not from your life's experiences, which I don't want to say they're not important. But your life's experiences do not necessarily give you a picture of who the Holy Spirit is. They can, they may not. We must make sure that our view of the Holy Spirit lines up with the Scripture's teaching. Just as if you were to ask people today, who is Jesus? You'd hear a variety of views out there. But how many know there's a view that people have and there's a correct view of the Bible? It is that Bible view that I want us to have that will help us understand. Jesus, there was a lot of events that the Jews practiced that were in the Old Testament. And one of them that continued on to the time of Christ was when the Jews gathered at certain places. And one of them is the great day of the feast. And here is Jesus. And I want you to see from the Scripture what Jesus did on this day when he, and we'll just read it, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood. I want you to get a picture. They're all milling around and what have you on this Jewish event. But on the very last day, Jesus stands up, speaking of standing, and he wanted to get the attention, and he cried, means he got loud, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Please notice the next scripture. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given. Now that's important for us to understand. Jesus, on this great day of the feast, stands, does what we read, said he would do. But then it says in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit according to St. John 7:39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should, that's future tense, receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Put yourself there in that congregation, and you hear this one that's gathering a lot of attention. And he just said this. But then we read, even though he said that, the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Jesus had been given, but the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Now, why did he cry out on the great day of the feast, where there was a gathering to satisfy the people's physical hunger and also to honor the event that was an Old Testament celebration? But Jesus now uses this event to address another hunger that we have. We have physical hungers and we have spiritual hungers. Everyone has a spiritual hunger, whether you recognize it or not. The Holy Spirit had not been given yet. You can drink ocean water, as many people often have been reported that are thirsting to death out in the ocean, and their thirst just overwhelms them, and so they drink water, but it's ocean water, and it doesn't do the job. They'll bring it back up. And you know that people today have a spiritual hunger, and they're trying to satisfy it with things of this world, and it doesn't do it. And their intentions are not on what is on trial, but what's on trial is, are you drinking the right thing to satisfy your spiritual thirst and your physical hunger? And Jesus is addressing their spiritual hungers. Yes, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. And this is also mentioned, I believe it's up there, in St. John chapter 14. And so if you want to follow along in your Bible, please feel free to do so. If not, it's up on the scriptures. That was when Jesus made that comment on the great day of the feast, was in the early part of his ministry. We only have 3.5 years. So now we come to St. John and chapter 14. And Jesus, do you know the Bible, when Jesus was walking during those 3.5 years, Jesus spoke of 2 comings. He spoke of him coming again. How many know the Lord's coming again? And he also spoke of the Holy Spirit that is going to come. Now, he did not speak of the Holy Spirit coming as much as he spoke about him personally coming, but he did speak of 2 comings. One is, the Holy Spirit's coming, the Holy Spirit's coming, the Holy Spirit's coming. And the other is, he's coming, and we know Jesus is coming. The difference is, Jesus hasn't yet come this next time, but we do know the Holy Spirit has come. So in John chapter 14, I want you to see he's picking up of his thought that he had made earlier on the great day of the feast. And Jesus, I'm trying to get the pictures and the scriptures that will put this puzzle together for us to have a biblical view of who is the Holy Spirit. And in St. John chapter 14, verse 15, we need to understand the context of where this scripture is coming from. John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But then he, from right there, says in verse 16, and, now the reason he said and is because it's connecting the thought that he had just mentioned, which is, if you love me, how many love Jesus? Okay, because you love Jesus, listen to this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. For even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I just love it if we just take the words of Jesus. They're not difficult to comprehend. We have some understanding about him. Again, he's not yet poured him out like we talked about last week that happened on the day of Pentecost. He had come often in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But the way he came is he didn't get down inside of them. He was with them. That's what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit of truth. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray to the Father. Now, this gives us several biblical truths, because we'll see later that the Holy Spirit was the promise of the Father. But now we find Jesus on equal ground in one sense with the Father, because we find Christ says, and I, well, he says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, but let me back up. And I will pray to the Father. I'm getting ahead of myself. I will pray to my Father, and he is going to send you another comforter. Let's just stop for a moment on that word comforter. How many know Jesus is a great comforter? He is a great comforter. But Jesus is not here. How many know Jesus is not here? He left. But he said it is important that I leave, or it's expedient, or to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the comforter will not come. But if I go, then I'm going to send the comforter. And when he comes, he's going to come differently. You see, up until the time when he came, Jesus says that because the world can't receive him because they don't know him. But he said, but you know him. You see, they had been experiencing him, not in them. But he said, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, but shall be in you. How many know there's a difference of something being with you? If I was to take Brother Garner and grab him by the hand, okay, I won't grab him by the hand, but we just walk down the aisle, I'm with him. But if I could get inside Brother Garner, there's a big difference. Brother Garner said, I don't want you and me. Understandably so. But how many want the Holy Spirit in you? And we don't need to be, there was a woman in my church named Karen Walker. And by her nature, she came by it honestly. She was afraid of a lot of things. And she was afraid of the Holy Spirit. And I remember she came to me and said, well, Brother Connor, and so I, as a good pastor, sat down and went through the Bible, like I'm doing to you, to give her a biblical understanding of who this Holy Spirit is, and tried to explain to her, Karen, I'm not trying to give you something that is churchy, or that I understand, and I'm not questioning that your fears are not real. They are, and I respect them. But, and you know why we got a lot of dumb fears out there? It's because the church has done a lot of dumb things. One time I was about, I just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he was so real to me. I was heading north from Ventura up into Oregon to go back to share Christ with some friends and relatives, and on the way back, I stopped at this church. And I was dressed not like a minute, I don't know, but I remember going in this little church, and the service began, and I love God, and I was trying to enjoy the service. There's probably 25, maybe a little less people. And this minister, they were singing, they were sincere, and it was everything. And then he preached a good message. I enjoyed the message. And then he said, okay, it's altar call time. And he said, okay, everybody come on down here. So I'm thinking, well, what for? I mean, and I'm not trying to be rebellious or cantankerous, but I watched them, and I wasn't a part of that church, but a lot of people went down, and that's fine. And then he big fella, and he would pray in for them, and they had the music going, and they got all happy, and I'm not opposed to getting happy, but at the end of the prayer of praying for these, he'd give them a shove, and they'd go down on the ground. And oh, everybody rejoiced, thinking, look how God is slaying people in the Spirit. And I thought, and I'm thinking with honest thinking, and I'm not, and I think, hey, God, he shoved them. And one after another would go down, then they'd get back up and get back in line. And he must have taken offense that I was not getting in line. I don't know. But he grabbed that microphone. He said, God's moving down here. He said, I think everybody ought to be in this line. He looked at me. And I think, he's talking to me. So I thought, don't be cantankerous. Go ahead and go with the flow. And so I got in line, and some of them were going back for the second, third time around. And now when it's my turn, I gently reached up, put my arm around his neck, give it like this. And he's praying, and it's loud, nobody can hear what I'm about to say. And as he's praying, and they're enjoying, and everybody's in the spirit except me, I guess. And I said to him, if I go down, you go down. You say, you rebellious little thing. No, I just want it real. And as much as there is something within us, and I'm not going to say it's 100% proof, as much as that mother can recognize that seal and know it's hers, real children of God can recognize when it's real and when it's man-made. And I just want it real, that's all. And I don't have a problem with someone being zealous and carried away, etc., etc. So I say that because the church has done some dumb things over the years, and so it's no wonder why some people are maybe a little bit nervous about the Holy Spirit. I remember my mother, and I've told you this, when I asked her, Mom, do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And she said, no. I said, well, why not? She said, well, you. I said, well, first of all, is it real? She said, I believe it is. I said, well, how come you don't have it? Well, I'm a little afraid of it. So I understand the fear aspect of it. I said, well, why are you afraid of it? She said, well, your relatives, your grandma, my dad's mother. She said, when she's down at the, and this is the name of it. It's not politically correct, but it was the name of it. It was called Retarded Thrift Store. And they had used clothing in there. And she said, Grandma'd get in there, and if she found a good deal, she would lift that garment up and dance down the aisle and talk in tongues and come back. And she said, I know you, Grandma, love God, but she said, I'm not so sure I want the Holy Ghost to do that to me. And I said, you really think that'll happen if you get the Holy Spirit? She says, well, I don't know, that's your grandma. So I'm understanding why sometimes, and I said, you mean God sits up there and goes, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a Christian by the toe if he don't hallelujah enough every day, make him shake a hallelujah down the aisle of Retarded Thrift Store? It doesn't seem to me that I would blame that on the Holy Spirit, but maybe on Grandma that is not wisely, you nod your head, you get it. So, Karen Walker, I explained to her, and she had fears, understandably so. But then, one day, Karen Walker called me on the phone, and she was as excited as could be. I said, what? She said, Pastor, I was home, and I was singing with a gospel music in the background, and God filled me with the Holy Spirit, and I've been talking in tongues for the last 20, 30 minutes. And I thought, that's wonderful. You see, he can do it anywhere, and he's very real. And so now I want us to see, Jesus said, I will send, and he shall give you another comforter. Nobody can comfort you inwardly, because that's where he goes, like the Holy Spirit, and he may abide with you forever. I believe that this morning there are some here that have had panic attacks emotionally. Panic attacks of fears that have come on you, and they hit you, and they really do a job on you. I know what it is to have those. As a kid, I can remember being home. My mother and father would go out to eat, and I'm maybe 13 or 14, and my older sister's there, and I would hear an ambulance, and my mind would get to going, and I would think, that's my mother and father. They got in a wreck. And my mind would begin to give me all kinds of inward fears, and it really bothered me. And I had many of those attacks enough of them that I was aware of it. And I remember when the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit, I didn't battle them near like I had. I remember Brother Armstrong, Becky's pastor. He, even though he was a child of God, he would at time get these attacks, and he would call me many a time and say, "Brother Connor, my nerves are driving me nuts." And the enemy would begin to work on him, and he would begin to have these horrible feelings, and it would affect his peace. And he said, I'm ashamed. I should have peace. I'm a child of God, but would you pray with me? And there were many a time I would pray with him over the phone. Oh God, let the Holy Spirit begin to rise up within Brother Armstrong where he is, and give him a peace. And there were dozens of times he would thank me. Thank you, Brother Connor. I feel so much better. I'm sensing his peace. But Jesus said, "He shall give you another comforter." Jesus. But, well, I must have done something to kick it back in. So, testing. Okay. Thanks, Donnie. We'll. There is a difference between dwelling with you and shall be in you. Up until the time the Holy Spirit was poured out as promised, the Holy Spirit was dwelling with them. But after Pentecost, it is now dwelling in them, which now makes it possible to fulfill the promise of what the Holy Spirit was said on that day of the great day of the feast. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You see, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to where it flowed from me to out of me, there is within me a Holy Ghost filled child of God. And Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit out of my belly shall flow living waters." And the belly is used by Christ to describe one's innermost place. And it is the belly that hungers. It is the belly that thirsts. So there must be something on your part that must hunger, that must thirst. And the Holy Spirit was promised by Christ of His coming almost as many times of Christ promising that He would come again. Now, in St. John 16:7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you." This is for you. There's a message there. The Lord takes away that He may give. But it's to your advantage that I go away. Do you know how hard that was for the disciples to see Jesus go away? And yet He said, this is for you. But if I go, I'm going to send Him. It's interesting, before Christ said that He would pray to the Father and He would send the Holy Spirit, this is another reminder that Jesus is equal with the Father. Philippians 2, 5, and 6 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now back to Jesus promising to send the Holy Spirit in John 16, 7. Here Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit. And when He does come as promised, and I want you to see in the 3.5 years, Jesus in different times and in different ways talked about the Holy Spirit's coming. Holy Spirit's coming. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, that when He does come, here's a way you can tell. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And notice this, and He will show you things. What will He show you? He's going to show you something. I personally, because of Corinthians talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts is the word of knowledge. And I have often been used in that gift where He has shown me things. And it has always been
to help the person. It's always been to draw them to God. And but I want you to see that. Did you get that? The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. That's future events. He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come, future events. And this is not new. For the Holy Spirit, though not in one's belly, he was at that time dwelling with them and would show them. But now he's going to be in you and he'll show you things. The second thing Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do in his ministry says he's going to glorify me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He glorifies Jesus. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, how does the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? In St. John 17:24, here's what Jesus prayed. And we're putting the pieces together of this puzzle. When Jesus prayed in St. John 17:24, here's what he said. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. Aren't you glad you've been given to Jesus? If you know Christ, you were given to him by the Father. And Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Do you know one of the important things for us as Christians is to behold the glory of Jesus? How are we going to see how glorious Jesus is? God did answer that prayer that the church would behold Christ's glory. And the Father did so by sending the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit came, as promised, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. And so that's what the ministry of the Holy Spirit does. And nothing can bring to your senses the glory of Jesus quite like the Holy Spirit that he places within you, that comes up forth out of your belly, shall flow rivers. Now, just before Jesus left, he reminded them again of the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. Remember, he keeps saying, the Holy Spirit's coming. And I want you just briefly for a moment to take a look at Luke chapter 24. I don't believe it's up there, but this is very interesting. This is Jesus with the disciples just before he left. And here is a passage that lets us know the disciples finally are getting it. The picture's coming together. Because in Luke chapter 24 and verse 52, in fact, if you back up to verse 49, these are the last words of Jesus, and behold, I send you the promise of my Father. See, this is the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And now notice verse 52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They're finally getting it. And they're happy. And they're thrilled. Yes, we get it. He's going to do what he said. Now, remember he told them to go? Now, let's take a look at Acts chapter 1. And Acts is a book right after Jesus left. You know, it is necessary that you see this in Scripture. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, it's going back, reminding us what we just read in Luke. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. These are the last words of Jesus on planet Earth, reminding them of the promise of the Holy Spirit is coming. Do you know that there are, in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is really rare for all four of the Gospels to refer to one event. That is a very rare thing. It's only happened about four or five times. But the promise of the Holy Spirit is in each one of them. It's found in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize, or let me back up. It's in Luke 3:16. John answered, saying unto them, remember John the Baptist starting off the ministry, baptizing Jesus? And remember, even Jesus did not begin his ministry until what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him. And John is this crowd. He's telling of the Holy Spirit's coming. You see, they were looking for the promise of the Savior, but they were also looking for the promise of the Holy Spirit that had been promised. It was in Luke 3:16. It's in Matthew 3:11. It's found in Mark chapter 1, verse 8. And it's in John chapter 1, verse 33. And the last one, John 1:33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize in water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That's the ministry of Jesus, is to baptize you to where he gets in you with the Holy Ghost as he stood on the great day of the feast. Remember, and stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow. It hadn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. And this is why the very first time the promise of the Holy Spirit coming is referred to as the promise of the Father. The one that spoke to John. When John was baptizing in the wilderness, do you know who spoke to him? It's very rare. It was the Father. The Father spoke to John. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that spoke to John. It wasn't Jesus that spoke to John and was playing ventriloquist, threw his voice up there and came back out of... No, it was the Father. And because here's what John says in John 1:33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with... You know, John had never met Jesus. Even though he's a cousin, John said, I never met him. It was by revelation that he saw Christ, and he said, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, well, who sent you, John? The same said unto me, this is the Father himself who spoke to John, and this is an example for us. And just as Jesus did not begin his ministry at the age of 30 until he received the Holy Spirit, Jesus is telling the disciples, likewise, before you take off into all the world to preach the gospel, you wait for the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit. Now, summing this up, a number of times, the promise of the Holy Spirit coming that would be in man was not just something that started in the New Testament. Do you know that this promise was in the Old Testament? In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 27, here's what the old prophet said, hundreds of years before Jesus came, and I will put my Spirit within you. See, not with you, in you. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Please notice the location of where the Holy Spirit would be placed in you. And now, in Isaiah, this prophet, Isaiah 32, verse 4, it says, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. Is this a prophecy describing literally what takes place often? You know, not in every case, but in... oftentimes, before a person receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I see stammering lips, and I'm not saying, okay, go out and go, and therefore you'll get it. I'm just saying that it is often, it was prophesied, with stammering lips and another tongue. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 says, and these are promises of the Holy Spirit that's going to come. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And perhaps the best known Old Testament promise of the Holy Spirit that is coming is found in another Old Testament passage by another prophet. And this is one that usually gets most of the attention. It's the prophet Joel. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, in fact, when the Holy Spirit did get poured out, remember he said, go to Jerusalem. And then when the Holy Spirit, you wait for it. Well, when it did happen, Peter got up and he said, this is what the prophet Joel said would happen. And so I want you to see that this had been prophesied by Ezekiel, by Isaiah, by Joel, by John the Baptist, by Jesus. There's five of saying the Holy Spirit's coming, the Holy Spirit's coming. And so we find Joel said, and it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Verse 29, and upon whom the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit? We know that that happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. And Joel or Peter, when it happened, when the mighty rushing wind came, when the Holy Spirit came and cloven tongues of fire sat upon them, and they heard them speak in different languages, and some could have been a heavenly language. Then Peter gets up and he said, this is what was promised. This is what was promised by the prophet Joel. And so Peter lets them know. And he said the promise was first given of the Holy Spirit's coming is found in all four Gospels. It was told by John. It was told by three Old Testament prophets. It was told by Jesus on four different times. The first time we have the Lord referring to the Holy Spirit's coming is the one we started with, John 7, 37 through 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. You see, these disciples, they were believers, but they had not yet inwardly received the Holy Spirit. It was with them. But Jesus said, he shall be in you. Summing it up, Old Testament prophets, Joel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, John the Baptist, Jesus at least four times. These were the reasons they were commanded to go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise. The motivation for them to do so. Remember the motivate. What motivates you? Jesus said, if you love me. I want to ask you, do you love Jesus? Then take the words of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what commandments are we talking about? Where he commanded to go to Jerusalem. Acts says he commanded them to go to Jerusalem. Another motivation for the disciples was they were convinced Jesus rose from the dead. Three motivations they had. Do you have these motivations? If you love me, keep my commandments. Your love for the Lord. Second motivation, if any man thirst, do you have a hunger or thirst? And number three, they were convinced Jesus had risen from the dead. They saw many miracles, signs, and wonders he did during those 40 days. You could honestly say faith motivated them. These 10 days, what did they do? What were they doing while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit? It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, here's what they were doing. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. What does it mean, supplication? A book that gives the meaning of Greek words and Hebrew words is called Strong's Concordance. The word for supplication is found, the number is 1162. The word means to beg. It means to humble oneself. No one begs in a rightful biblical sense unless they willfully humble themselves. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus had supplication. We don't have it up here, but Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Remember, here's what they did. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Did Jesus have supplication when he prayed? Yes, he did. When he was in the garden, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. You know, when Jesus was in the garden and he didn't want to go to the cross, he was praying with strong crying and tears and supplication. Oh, Lord, is there any other way? And his heart, and you know the disciples could hear this off at a distance. And it says that he prayed so hard, his sweat became drops of blood. And I'm not saying you got to pray that way in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I am saying you need supplication. And it talks about a proper attitude that we're trying to find everything biblically we can. These all continued in one accord, it says in the book of Acts, with prayer and supplication. That mixed with rejoicing in the heart. So I want to encourage you to continue to rejoice in the Lord. And I want you to have prayers and supplications as you see him. So in wrapping this up, what took place during those 10 days as they waited and tarried, waiting for the promise. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a comfort. He comes to do what Jesus did, and he only comes to speak of Jesus, to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit will never embarrass you. You may humble yourself, but he is a comforter. I remember, how many ever heard of Joe Wright? He pastored the Assembly of God over in years ago. They had quite a revival, but this is about 30 years, 25 years ago. My wife and I were at a conference, and Joe Wright, Assembly of God minister, was preaching at this conference. There was probably 300 people. When during the message, I'm just sitting there out in the congregation, I look over and I see this young man, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you're to go to him and you're to give him some words. And I thought, well, I can't do it now. I'd interrupt. And so I just waited. And I kept looking over at him, and I know I'm going to go to him. I got some words for him. And I don't even think I knew what the words were yet. But then all of a sudden, Joe Wright gave an altar call and asked people to come forward. He was one of the first ones that shot up. Now, he's given a salvation call. And I thought, well, they're going to think I'm a sinner if I go down, but it don't matter. I'm going to obey what the Lord said to do. So I went on down, and I got behind him as he's praying. I'm sure all my minister friends thinking, what's Connor doing getting saved again? But how many know when you're hungry for God, you'll do whatever God says? And so they're probably thinking, what did he do? And as others now are coming forward, then the Lord told me what it was. And I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, excuse me, but the Lord shows me that there's a woman that you're very troubled about. And he looked at me with all this noise going around. He said, I'll have you know I'm not seeing a woman. And I waited a minute, maybe not a minute, but a few moments. Said, no. The Lord told me that I'm not accusing you of that. Don't go there. I'm only telling you what the Lord showed me. There is a woman you're troubled about, and the Lord sent me to help you, to comfort you. And then he waited a moment. He said, he hung his head down. He said, you're right. He said, I've only been married about 6 months. And he said, my old girlfriend moved back to town and gave me a call. And he said, I'm troubled. He said, I don't want to see her. She called me. What am I going to do? And I said, well, don't ask me like I have all kind of. And I said to him, I don't know, but the Lord revealed this, and I'm going to pray for you. He's going to help you. And it wasn't me. And may we always understand, it's never the person. It's always God. And because even the Holy Spirit doesn't even take attention to himself. He does it to glorify the Lord. And may we also recognize that. And when I went to pray for him, he just fell over. And it wasn't me shoving him like that guy tried to shove me. And he went down. And he laid there for a good while and came up sobbing. And came later and thanked me. And I say that is one of the... that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I will send you another comforter. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict, and he comforts, but it is always to help you. It is always to help you. It is expedient. This is for your advantage, that I go away. If I go not away, he will not come. And Jesus, when he went up, said to his father, Father, please send it. And the Father did. And the Holy Spirit came. And it is with the church today to be in us. And I'm only trying to give you Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, yes, there are things that have been done, but please... The Holy Spirit wants to help you. He's real. I don't know what your view of Jesus is. But I pray it be a right biblical view of Jesus. And I don't know what your view of the Holy Spirit is. But you need to know he was sent by the Father, by Jesus. He was prophesied that he would come. In the Old Testament, by at least three prophets, he was prophesied he would come by John in every gospel. Jesus, when he was here, the 3.5 years, spoke of him on 4 or 5 different occasions from the time he began till the time he went up. He's coming. And I want to encourage you. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. How many love Jesus? Say, I know where you're going, Pastor. Good. I want to encourage you to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's biblical. He's real. He will not hurt you. He will do you good. He will only help you. He will bring peace. He's a comforter. He's all of those things that Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is. If you're feeling something today, you might think it's Jesus, but I'm not saying it's not, but it technically it is not. It is the Holy Spirit who is forming Christ in you. And oh, that's why we need him. And that's why I've taught on him today. And I pray you check out what I've said. And if you have a thought, line it up with the Bible. That's all I ask you to do. Not your own thinking. In fact, the night I received the baptism, I came home and told my mother, Mom, I received it. You don't need to be afraid of it, Mama. And so later, my mother began to come to the church, eventually where I began to be the associate pastor. One Sunday morning, I'm up on the platform over to the side, and the pastor had preached, and there was probably 30, 40 people down in front, and the pastor just asked people to wait upon the Lord, and they were worshiping, when you can hear in the congregation, who is that? It was my mother. God filled her with the precious Holy Spirit, and I'm only here to tell you, it's real. It's real, it's real, it's real. Would you stand this morning? I do want to ask if you've And I don't say this in any way to belittle you or to make you feel, because I've experienced this. If you're here this morning and you've had anxiety attacks, if you've had things that rise up within you and just overwhelm you at times, the Holy Spirit wants to bring comfort to you. And would you come forward? I want to pray with you. God will help you. If you've had, at times, you say, I wish I didn't have these feelings. I wish I didn't. Listen, we have them. We don't ask for them, but we have them. Nobody can minister to you quite like the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I believe in just doing what God said in His Word. I all week I've been saying, Lord, I can't do it. I can't feel people. I can't. There isn't anybody. There's different people gifted. But I know the Lord just wanted me to lay it out and teach it. And like Karen Walker, who went home. In fact, one day after she received, we were thrilled about it. No, this is before she received. And do you remember that time we went out to the house up in Snowden? I'd never go visit a woman without my wife. But I remember knocking on the door. A little girl answered the door, about 4 years old. She looked up at me. I don't remember her name. I can't remember anybody's name. I said, is your mama home? Yeah. I could hear her go down the hallway, and I could hear her yell, Mom! That guy that yells at us every Sunday is here. I turned him off. I said, is that what I do? Yell at you every Sunday? She said, no, honey, just a little girl. I that beat me up for months. I'm too little to yell at anybody. I went in and visited with her, and she started coming. And God so gloriously got a hold of that woman and filled her. It's for every one of you. And so I take the words of Jesus. I can't outdo them. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow. It's real. It's real. Would I get some people behind? We're just going to pray. In fact, I want you to see a scripture. As we ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, I want you to see a passage of scripture that Jesus, when He is encouraging us to seek the Holy Spirit, I had it written down, and He says, which of you have parents? And we can all identify with this. Maybe you can find it out there, as my memory doesn't remember the address. Because He says, if you which are evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? He says, if you, and here's what people, they think, well, I'm afraid of opening myself up. Something might come in that, you know, I'm not comfortable with. Hang on. If you're afraid of opening yourself up, Jesus saw that fear way before you had it. And He says, if a child asks his parent for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? No. He says, if the child asks you for a fish, would you of a parent play a dirty trick on him and give him a serpent? And I may have these a little bit mixed up. He said, you wouldn't do that. And you're evil. Don't call me evil. I didn't. Jesus did. But He said, if you would do that, and what He's doing is relieving your fears. Because I've been in this thing, folks, a long time, and I've heard about every reason why people don't do what they're supposed to do, and they come by it honestly, but just because you come by it honestly don't make it correct. Truth sets you free. They say, well, I don't want to open myself up. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of spirits out there. No, no, no. God promised, Jesus promised, when you ask me, I'm standing guard. I won't let anything enter into you if you're asking for the Holy Spirit. I'll make sure nothing else comes in. That's the promise Jesus gave. I'd believe Jesus before I'd believe my fears. I'd believe Jesus before I'd believe my concerns and my past experiences. If you're sincerely, Lord, fill me, then I'm trying to remove the obstacles. You can trust Him. You can open up. He won't give you something bad. He'll give you good. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I can't do it. Never could. Only You can. But I pray for these in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I've laid hands on them 100 times. I'll lay hands on them again. Because we tarry and we seek You and with supplication. And Lord, if You said, if You love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father and He will send the Holy Spirit. Lord, I lay hands on them. I pray, Lord, that You help them with these anxieties. I pray, Lord, with these fears that come from without and from within, that You give a peace to their troubled mind and troubled heart. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. Lord, remove the fears that are not rightfully there. It's one thing to be practical. It's another thing to have fears that often motivate your children and paralyze them so they cannot function as they should. Lord, remove the fears that are not of You. Remove the concerns that are not healthy. And Lord, let it be replaced by the sweetness of Your Holy Spirit that You have promised us again and again, that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and that, Lord, You will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, all these past things that have caused fears and anxieties, I pray they be gone in the name of Jesus, and I pray they be replaced with the love of God and the Holy Spirit that is shed abroad in our heart. And may the Holy Spirit, Lord, be within our heart and out of our belly. May it flow rivers of living water. Lord, there isn't a slogan, a combination of words, anything we can do. It is You, Lord. And we seek Your face, and I pray Your blessing. And may it come upon these, Lord Jesus. May an anointing come on them here, at home, in the car, wherever. You promised that the mind who has stayed on Thee, there would be great peace. And Lord Jesus, I pray for great peace. A peace they can feel. Oh Jesus, minister, You know the needs. Lord, we do ask You for the Holy Spirit, and we trust You as we open ourselves up. And with faith we open up. Lord, You taught on it. May we also understand it in Jesus' name, and bless Your people. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. I want to encourage you. Keep seeking Him. Keep seeking Him. Let Him minister to you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Please, when you're home, put on good gospel music. Read the scriptures. Open your heart up. He can fill you at home. He can fill you here. He can fill you anywhere. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.